In 2019, Tony Briggs launched a weekend-long festival dedicated to First Nations filmmakers from around the world, Birrarunga Film Festival. Now in its third iteration, the biannual event is bigger than ever. Ahead of the festival launch, Yorta Yorta Wurundjeri man Tony Briggs discussed the program with me and what prompted him to develop Birrarunga in the first place.
Well, I started out in this business at the tender age of 19, and several years later, I noticed that there was a real lack of visibility of, you know, the stuff that we were making as actors and directors and writers. And I just thought, you know, I would see a lot of festivals in Melbourne, all kinds of festivals, whether they film or whatever. And it struck me that there was nothing at all that helped to promote Aboriginal stories. And so I had this harebrained idea of starting my own festival. It wasn't really until very recent that the opportunity presented itself to, you know, be a part of a, you know, another organisation. And it just got me thinking about it again. And then we decided to, you know, we had the capacity to do it. So we did it and went out on our own.
This being the third, I guess you've had time to understand what works, what doesn't, make adjustments. What are kind of the big learnings that you've taken away over the years?
The biggest thing that I've learned is to there is no rush, and to really try to be as measured as you can as you move forward into the next iteration of, you know, whatever the festival brings. Because the thing is, you know, when it comes to the crunch time, things inevitably change. It's not always, you know, like being set in your ways, especially in this industry, just in general, is not very helpful. Being dogged and focused on your dream is always helpful, but being set in your ways and how to do things, you've got to be malleable. And I think that's the biggest, it's just the way I like to be most of the time. And so, you know, it's something that has stood out for me with each festival. So, you know, there's a lot of learning to be had still, and we're still very green, and it's good to stay open and really sort of, you know, open about what it is that you want to achieve from festival to festival.
Well, let's talk about this year. Can you tell me about the opening night film? Because that's always quite an event.
Yeah. Bones of Crows, it's an epic film. It's a beautifully made film. And it's a story that, you know, follows the journey of this one girl who becomes a matriarch of her mob and sort of looks at the systematic kind of breaking down of culture and through the sort of residential school system, which is what they had in Canada. It's you know, it's very, the thing about this film for me is that it's, you know, it always resonates. Most stories, all stories actually, that come from other nations always resonate with me because of the affiliation to the stories that are similar to our own stories as Aboriginal people, and can really understand that having your culture ripped away and being ripped away from your family and your mob, and, you know, has a generational effect, as we all know. And Bones of Crows is a story just like that. And so they have their own version of what we have been through. And I always find it really interesting to show the parallels between the, you know, between the cultures, our culture and you know, other Indigenous cultures around the world. And when they put the stories on film like this in such a poetic way, it really helps you to, you know, make a lot more sense of the world as a whole and what we've been through, you know, in our own culture. So it's a beautiful film. It's such a beautiful film. I got swept away with it. So I'm really excited to have it, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you noticing any particular themes that are in this year's collection?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a theme, but I have noticed there are a lot more films and stories from the queer community that are being presented, not necessarily to us, but just being developed and created and being afforded the opportunity to have stronger voice just in the landscape in general. And it's just one of those things. I don't really go looking for anything in particular. I just, see what I like, and a good story is a good story, and these ones are beautiful and fun and just strong stories that I really enjoy.
You are truly one of the busiest people in the industry. As well as being the artistic director of this film festival, you are also a filmmaker in your own right. And you have also recently taken on a role at Melbourne Theatre Company. How do you actually balance the time of watching the sheer number of films you need in order to be able to develop a program?
I almost didn't this year. It's a lot bigger this year, the festival, and it's not necessarily something that it's not something we consciously set about doing. It's just the way it kind of moved forward, and we embraced it, and have done what we've had to do. I think I've got a lot of help. There's a lot of people that help and support, and it isn't all just me. And you just have to do what you've got to do. And I really believe in this festival, and I believe in our mob having a platform. And when I say our mob, I say that in a collective sense. Our mob all over the world, having a voice to be able to express themselves in the way that they want to, driven by them. In collaboration if they desire. Some of the films are in the past and have been collaborative efforts with Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, but at the end of the day it's the Indigenous stories that are being led by our mob. So I just think that I just have to what I try to do is stay focused on the end game. Sometimes I lose focus. And it depends on what it is that I'm, when I say lose focus, I mean that my focus is a split one quite often. But, I look at, what the thing is that I need to get done the soonest, or what is the biggest, and, what I've got more time to really sort of focus on. And often it's the beauty of having the biennial festival. I'm able to focus on other things where I need to and when I need to.
I have to say, I was really excited to see Sweet As on the program. Mm. I had the opportunity to watch it at my desk on a computer screen. It's not how it's intended to be seen. I can only imagine those sweeping landscapes on a big screen.
Mm. Yeah, I was fortunate to see it on a big screen, and it's really is a beautiful film. It's so full of love and joy, and just so much heart in this film that you can't help but fall in love with the film itself, and you fall in love with this person who's put this on the screen, and it's a Crystal Bear winner, and this is a beautiful coming of age story. Chubby will be here. She'll be talking about the making of with the producer, Liz Kearney. So that's on the 25th of March as well, Saturday at 2:30 at Acme Cinema, Cinema 2 to be precise. So we're really excited about that and supporting our mob as best we can. It is very hard to get a hold of some of these films, I have to say, with all these big festivals around the world and the festivals that the producers and the directors and, the people who spend so much time, making these things want to go to. So it can be a bit tricky, but like I said, we're early days and we just chip away and get, the best that we can. We've also on closing night too is a fantastic film called Moro. And we're really pleased to have Uncle Tamaiti, who's in the film. He's also an activist from the old days, so to speak, back in the day, and his old cohort is Uncle Gary Foley. So they'll also be doing a panel as well. So they're two giants of activism, you know, in our respective countries, and they're very, very close, very old friends. So they'll be talking about their friendship, and so we're looking forward to that discussion, that panel. And, you know, I there's so much to talk about really in this program. We've got some really exciting stories, you know, documentary features and you know, straight narrative features that are really strong, and everything when I look at the package, complete package, every single one of them obviously talk directly and powerfully and passionately about their culture, and it's a culture that has kept, you know, us alive and to make sure that the rest of the world know that we're not going anywhere, we're here. And these collective stories are so palpable when you think about it like that, and I'm really very proud to be able to present a lot of these films. Like, you know, The Drover's Wife we have is you know, Lea Purcell's film, and you know, it's again a powerful, beautiful, beautifully shot film, feature film that is made by this force of nature in that is Lea Purcell. So again, we're happy to have that. And no, I just think generally that the storytelling that I'm starting to see on film from First Nations people all over the world is just getting stronger and stronger, and it really makes me proud to see how connected we really truly are through our stories and very, very much shared experiences on every level. So, you know, I'm really excited. And we've got stuff for kids too. We've got, you know, we've got a kids package. We've got some curated packages too. So from Australia, we've got a few Australian films in there, short films and some Māori films. And, we got films from everywhere. So come along and check it out.
Yorta Yorta Wurundjeri man, Tony Briggs. He's the artistic director of Birrarunga Film Festival, which runs in Melbourne from the 23rd to the 28th of March. Check out the program online at birrarunga.world or head to our show page, abc.net.au/rn. And we'll have a link for you there too.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.